The following is a class given by His Holiness Srila Chandramouli Swami on real independence, declaring the dependence on Holy Name, recorded on 4th July 2008 in Chicago, United States.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistayana Padaya Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharini Namaste Sansuri Vani Pasyakya Devi Sitarani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasa Vibhava Vakta Vima Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, I hope everyone is becoming more and more absorbed in Krishna's holy name. The goal of this retreat is to help us to understand deeply what is this gift of the holy name that has been so freely given to us by the Lord and by the great acharyas of the Sangha. The holy name is unlimited, as the Lord is unlimited. It says on the ocean, the small fish that you see, they always get caught because they swim on the top. But the big fish, they go deep. It's hard for them to get caught. So the deeper we go, the less chance we get caught by Maya. We want to get away from the surface and go into the depth of the holy name. So I was given the title for this talk is Real Dependence, or Declaring Our Real Independence, Declaring Our Dependence on Krishna's Holy Name. It seems quite appropriate that we are speaking on this subject today, because today is Independence Day. People are celebrating in various ways according to their ways of celebration, which we will describe, on what it means to celebrate independence. But then again, two things are off: the celebration and what is independence. To become free from some political entrapment doesn't mean you're free. This material world, as explained, is full of entrapments, either social, political, familial, bodily, so many forms of entrapment. We get free from one form of entrapment, and we find that there's another there waiting for us. Or we free ourselves from one and we find that there's many more still to free ourselves from. But it's explained that real independence really is to take the spiritual life. Because on the spiritual platform, you're free. The soul cannot be encumbered by anything material, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Jiva, Sukhoi, Krishna, and Nityadas. A living entity is a tiny fragment of Krishna's energy. And Krishna, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is Swarup. Swarup means he is fully and completely independent. Nothing can control Krishna. Nothing material, anyhow.
Krishna is controlled by love, but that is some, that is spiritual. But nothing can control Krishna. Krishna's, and even he agrees to be controlled by love. So even that is still subordinate to his position. And the living entity being part and parcel of Krishna, we are also swell up in minute quantity. We can never be as independent as Krishna, but we do have independence. And we can be independent from this, the sufferings that come with living in this material world, and the attachments that cause us all these various forms of suffering. So there's one beautiful verse in Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, where he describes what is surrender, and what does it mean to be a devotee. And he gives six symptoms. And those six symptoms really sum up what it means to be fully under the lotus feet of the Lord, or to be fully engaged in the Lord's service. He says, the verse is mentioned also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse number 100. It mentions that six things are important. To accept things that are favorable for my spiritual life. And that requires some knowledge to understand what is favorable. And that is given by the instructions of the spiritual master. It's given by the scriptures. And also, what is unfavorable, what to avoid. What we must do in order to allow for the favorable things to move us forward in the path of spiritual life. If we're not aware of what's unfavorable, then we're practicing the favorable, but we're getting very little benefit. So the second half is to know what is unfavorable. And the third is to know that Krishna is my maintainer. He maintains me. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Vida Vida Pita. Pita. Pita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. He is the source of everything, and he maintains everything. This entire material world is under the maintenance of the supreme, of all of the energies of Krishna. And through his energies, he maintains everything and every living being. So Krishna is this. To know Krishna is, that's number three, that he is my maintainer. In this world we see maintainers as our parents, or as our friends, or political leaders. That's a little bit far-fetched, but some people think that way. That without political leaders, there's no hope for happiness. I think without the political leaders, there's only hope for happiness. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. So, people are maintained by various aspects of society and relationships. And the fourth one, number five, is that I depend on Krishna in all circumstances. Not only for my protection, my maintenance, but my very existence, my livelihood, my happiness, everything. To be completely dependent on Krishna for everything. I think sometimes we have categories of dependence or categories that fulfill our certain needs. But these categories, whoever they are, whatever they are, our families, friends, society, country, or even our doctors, everyone, is really an energy of Krishna. They have no effect without the mercy of the Lord. There's a famous verse in the scriptures. Rake Krishna Moreke, More Krishna Rakeke. But if Krishna wants to kill you, you can go anywhere and hide and you'll still be killed. Doesn't matter. He knows every spot. Directly and indirectly. And if Krishna wants to save you, you can be in the middle of a gigantic bomb blast and still you walk away. Yeah, it's like that. Krishna is perfect in everything he does. So if Krishna wants to do whatever he wants with you, there's nothing you can do. So we make attempts to help ourselves in different ways, in so many different things. But unless that is sanctioned by the Lord, our attempts are simply like smelling a fake flower. Ever smell the fake flower? Looks good from a distance, doesn't it? Oh, look at that beautiful flower. Disappointing. No smell. It's fake. Or Prabhupada used another example. A flower with no smell. Now, ladies, don't take offense to this. A flower with no smell is like a beautiful girl with no brains. Looks good from a far distance, right? No offense. Prabhupada said that. So it's good to have brains too, along with beauty. It's a nice combination. Anyway, back to the subject. So, Krishna is also my maintainer, protector, he's everything. And the last one, number six, is humility. Humility is the feature that allows us to depend on Krishna for protection, maintenance, and for assistance. Everything. Humility. These are the six symptoms of surrender. Now, in this age, how do we depend on Krishna? That's the key to this lecture. What is that dependence that we're looking for? How do we actually take dependence on Krishna? And it says in the scriptures that Krishna appears in two forms in this age. He appears in his beautiful, enchanting, and very, very wonderful form as a deity. And our eyes and our hearts become, what we say, enlightened when we take the darshan of the beautiful deity. But Krishna comes in another way. He comes in his name. And it is explained, if you want to approach the deity, it's very difficult. Very difficult to approach the deity. Very difficult. Although the deity is there, rules, regulations, restrictions, and qualifications are part of approaching the deity in the proper way. But the name, no qualifications, no restrictions, no nam nama kardi bahuda mitra sarva shaktis tatarpita niyamita smarimim kavaha. There's no rules, there's no regulations, there's no restrictions, and yet Krishna is fully manifested in his name, completely. All his energies, all his potencies, all his forms, his entire existence as Krishna is in that five-letter word, K-R-S-N-A. It's not simply five letters. It is Krishna in transcendental sound. And Krishna has descended in this age in that form. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, the form of the holy name is Krishna. He's the avatar in this name. And he's made that mercy available to everyone. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the essence of bhakti in the form of the love of the level of the love of Vrindavan and brought it to this world in the form of this, let me say, Sankirtan movement, Harinam Sankirtan movement. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the pure sound vibrations which is descending from the spiritual world. Goloka Prayadana Harinam Sankirtan, it's coming down. It's coming down into the hearts of the great souls who have made their lives an extension of that mercy by distributing it to everyone. And what is our qualification? Just take it. That's all. You just have to take it. You remember that? Or maybe you don't. Many years ago there was a TV show when I was growing up as a kid. It was called The Millionaire. The Millionaire. Remember that? Some of the older folks do. And it was our former president, Ronald Reagan. He was an actor. In fact, he maintained that always for his life. Sorry, I didn't have any offense, but because you don't have high opinions of political leaders. Anyway, he was a good actor. And he used to work for a very, very rich man, which you never saw. This rich man, yes, the show was, he would call Ronald Reagan, who was his assistant, into his office, and you would never see the man, you would always hear his voice. And he would write out a check for $1 million, and he would pick somebody to give it to. And then he would give it to Ronald Reagan, and he would take it and knock on the person's door and present him $1 million. And the person didn't even know who the person was giving it to. That said, this is a gift for you. This is coming from a very special friend of yours who wants to remain anonymous. Yeah. And the people get $1 million. And he would just give it out to whoever he liked. So it was a great show. Most of the people who got the $1 million, they became degraded afterwards. But that's not the point. The point was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that. He's just making this, what we say, fabulous fortune of Krishna's holy name, which is the essence of spiritual practice, available to everyone. So in this age, to become dependent on Krishna really means to become dependent on Krishna's name. Because Krishna is so available in his name. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada. They asked this question many times. Prabhupada, why do you chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, because we want to associate with God. I mean, really, people are usually known by who they associate with, yes? You're kind of seen in whatever circles you are in that way. So, and people like to consider their prestige as somewhat, you know, determined by association. But what is the best association? God! Can't get any better than that. And Krishna's made his association through the sound of his name. It's the most merciful incarnation. One cannot get any more mercy and at the same time get the highest. This is amazing. The highest has been given so easily. Usually when you go for the highest, you really have to work for it. I mean, you really have to have a lot of qualifications. But what is the qualification for getting the holy name, the mercy of the Lord? I mean, we could speak about this in different angles, but really, what is the qualification? There's one qualification. There is a qualification. I can't say there's none. There's one. And what is that? Intense greed. Eagerness. That is the qualification. The eagerness to get it, or to have it. And that makes you worthy to receive it. When you have that eagerness, that greed, then you can receive it. You can receive that. But we should understand the value of the holy name. I'll tell you a story. It's a beautiful story. It's been told before. And you may understand the story in one way, or you may understand the story in another way. But try to understand the story as I try to give you meaning. It's an interesting story. It shows how to appreciate the holy name. There was one young man, and he was eager for spiritual life. And he was looking for a spiritual master. And someone pointed out someone. So he went to that spiritual master. And this spiritual master was highly qualified. He was the best that was available. The man was very humble and very eager. And because of that, the spiritual master accepted him. And he could see, because he was not only humble and eager, he was also qualified to practice spiritual life. So he told him, I have a mantra. I will give you this mantra. This mantra is the best of all mantras. If you chant this mantra, you can reach the supreme spiritual destination. And he told him the mantra. He said, repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare. He accepted it. He was happy. He left. He went out his way. He was traveling around, chanting the holy name. He comes across a god with some ladies washing clothes. They're beating their clothes on the rocks. And they're singing Hare Krishna. He's thinking, what is this? Ordinary village ladies washing their clothes and they're singing Hare Krishna. This is the highest mantra. What did he tell me? I think there's something wrong here. So he left. A little ways later, comes across this group of boys, and they're playing cricket. They're hitting the ball with the bat. And every time they hit the ball, they say, Hare Krishna. Oh no, two in a row. Some frivolous boys playing sports, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. What to do? Now he's really bewildered. He doesn't say anything, he goes on. He goes a little farther. You see some fishermen. They're throwing their net into the water, catching fish. And as they throw their net in, they're saying, Hare Krishna. Fishermen, children, ladies, ordinary village people. And they're chanting, this is the highest. I have to go back. He went back. Went to his guru. He was in distress, thinking, you know, maybe I got cheated. He said to his spiritual master, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, I think what you told me is not correct. You told me this is the highest of all mantras, and he explained what he saw. His guru told him, you just be quiet for a minute. Gurus like to tell that to disciples. And he reached into his bag. He had a bag. He pulled out this very valuable gem. He said, here, you take this gem and you give it to those people unconditionally. So he said, you make that exchange. So he took the gem and he left. And he walked. Again, he came by the ladies washing clothes. And they were singing the Hare Krishna mantra and washing their clothes. He said, my dear ladies, please, give me your attention for 1 minute. I have something for you. I have this beautiful, valuable gem. It's worth a lot of money. Please take it as a gift from me. They looked at each other. They said, what are we going to do with that? Oh, it's a rock. We can use it to wash our clothes. He didn't know what to do. He left. Came to the boys. He said, my dear boys, stop playing cricket for a moment. I have something for you, a valuable gem. It'll make your life happy, peaceful, and successful. Here, please take it. They looked at each other. What are we going to do with that? Oh, another ball. It's a nice looking ball. We'll hit it with our bat. He left. Went to the fishermen. Called the fishermen. Offered the gem to them. They said, yes, another rock. We can tie it. We can tie it to our net. It'll go down faster. Then he understood. Although they were chanting, they didn't have any understanding. They didn't have any understanding. It was just like a song or something. Sometimes you hear cinema, see people in the cinema songs, shows, they sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and people make different jingles out of it. That's nice. And there's benefit in it. But really, when we really understand what Krishna's name is, then we can keep it as the greatest of all treasures. Because it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's nothing in the 14 worlds like the holy names of Krishna. So the highest religious principle is to remember Krishna always. And the highest, the easiest, the most recommended method for remembering Krishna is to chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That is dependence on Krishna, remembering Krishna's name. As soon as you chant the holy names, and if you're chanting purely, look what Ajamiya. Ajamiya was a Brahmin. He was a nice boy. He grew up in a Brahminical family. He was walking in one area where he never usually goes. And he saw something that was quite unusual for Vedic culture. A low-class lady embracing a person in public. He became overwhelmed and attractive. So much so it bewildered his mind. He came, he sought out that girl and married her. She was a prostitute, high class, and therefore he had to maintain her according to her standards. So he committed all kinds of crimes. Prabhupada said he did everything, including kidnapping, just to get money to maintain his prostitute wife. And he lived that way throughout his whole life, and he had so many children. At the age of 86, he had his last child. 86. Can you imagine that? And he named him Narayan, which was the culture. We all know the Indian culture, Vedic culture, is to name the children after names of God, which he did. And, you know, older people are always attached to the grandchildren, right? My mother says to me, "Oh, where's the grandchildren?" Sorry, not this life. Check out. Yeah, I didn't fulfill my obligations. My sister, she saved me. My mother got grandchildren on that side. So she's not totally mad at me anyway. Some balance is there. But you know, it's like, you know, parents, they want grandchildren. You know, in fact, they like the grandchildren better than their children. In many cases. It's true. So he was just so attached to his little child. He was playing with him, calling him, and then death came along. One day death came along. And he saw the agents of death coming to him to take away his life. And he called to his son, which he had been accustomed to do, always calling, "Narayan, Narayan." He named him Narayan. "Narayan, bring my shoes. Narayan, bring my food. Narayan, come here. Narayan, Narayan." So when death came, he called out Narayan, calling for his son. But he called so helplessly that he remembered Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he called. And when he did, immediately he became free from all his sinful reactions. And then he wasn't under the influence of the agents of Yamaraj. He became free from that. And then later he went to Hardware, perfected the rest of his life, went back home back to Godhead. Such a simple person. But because he chanted the holy names of Narayan, which is not even the name of Krishna, Krishna's name is the most supreme, powerful of all names. Narayan is very powerful too. But all the energies that are found in this absolute truth are only found in the name Krishna. Narayan has 96% of those energies. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead. He is full. He is Adi Purusham. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, we see how powerful Krishna's name is. It is immediate. One can become immediately free from all sinful reactions just by once purely chanting the holy names of the Lord. I'll read something from, there's one beautiful verse from, it's from the Padma Purana. It's one of my favorite verses on the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Punya Surya Nitya Mukta Vignatvam Nami Nami Nam. Listen to this translation. It's amazing. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions for its Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete. It is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition and is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Now I will read you the different benedictions. The name is transcendentally blissful, bestows spiritual benediction, Krishna himself, it's complete, it's the form of transcendental relationships, not a material name under any condition. You can do anything you want with the name, it still remains in its transcendental position. No less powerful than Krishna himself. Not materially contaminated, not involved with Maya, liberated, spiritual, never conditioned by the laws of nature, Krishna and his name is identical. Can we understand those things? They're way beyond our ability to understand the power of Krishna's name. We know God is great, and we know God is the source of all existence. And we know He is the supreme power and the supreme controller and the supreme benefactor. But when He comes in His name, how can we understand those qualities within the name? It's impossible. But the name is none different than Krishna. And therefore, in any and all circumstances, we should be dependent on Krishna in the form of His name. And what is the apparatus it takes? Just a tongue and two ears. That's all. So simple to chant the holy names. But Prabhupada used to say, there's one cartoon in a newspaper. One old lady, she's sitting with it on her husband. And she's saying to him, "Chant! Chant! Chant!" And he's saying, Can't. Prabhupada said, just see. He can say can't, but he can't say Krishna. So, why? Question is why? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Everything in spiritual life is based on faith. The more faith you have, the more you're connected with the transcendental platform. It's based on faith. So the name of Krishna is Krishna. It's powerful. It's descended into this world to purify the hearts and minds. Chaito Dharpana Bhajan Bhava Mahadevaya Nirvapanam Shreya Kaiva Vichandita Vidhanam Vidyavati Chivanam Anandam Guru Vardhanam Patipatam Gurnam Vita Swadhanam Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Bada Hari Babu was giving a class the other day. He was explaining this word Sankirtan. He was quoting Bhakti Vinod Thakur. How the word San, we understand, Kirtan, Kirtan comes from the word kirti. And kirti means famous. So to have kirtan means to glorify someone and make them famous. That's the actual etymological root of the word kirtan. It means to glorify one by making famous. Glorification is a form of making fame. The word sand, we all know that the ordinary definition and the common definition is that together. Together, we come together to perform kirtan. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there's another meaning to the word sand. He says, just like the word Sanskrit, Sanskrit means the complete language, the most perfect language. Sanskrit is the language of the devas. It is spoken in the heavenly realms. It's not from this planet. So it's the perfect of all languages, Sanskrit. So San also means perfect, the complete. There's no more complete and perfect way to glorify the Lord and to chant
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's recommended, it's perfect, it's complete. Not only is it perfect and complete, but it's recommended. In other words, in this age, if you want to attract the attention to the Lord, you may say so many nice prayers. And the scriptures are full of prayers. I mean, there's so many prayers. We grow up within our traditions, and we learn prayers from our parents. We learn prayers from our priests, and so many. And these prayers are nice. But the prayer that attracts the Lord, really, is the prayer of the Holy Name. Because Srila Prabhupada, he quotes Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he gives a meaning to the prayer of chanting Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna has a meaning. It has many meanings. It has unlimited meanings. But one meaning that he gives for us in this kind of movement, this Hare Krishna movement, is that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're actually saying, my dear Lord, please give me devotional service. Please give me a chance to serve. Allow me some service. So it's not only a prayer, but it's a petition for service. It's a request. So when we're chanting, we're actually asking the Lord for seva. And seva is actually our connection with God. Chanting is seva too. But seva is so broad that chanting is the means where you enter into the mood of seva, and as seva develops, chanting also develops. Because our lives are based on our relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the more we chant the holy name, or the more we go deeper into the qualities of chanting the holy names, the more we get what is called Krishna's mercy. We get a chance to serve Him. That is the greatest gift, the chance to serve the Lord. We're serving so many things. But the Lord, He's the only one that can appreciate, reciprocate, and what we say. Yeah, appreciate and reciprocate our service. You can live in a family your whole life. It's like Prabhupada says, you could be a father. You can take care of your family the whole life. And at the end of life, your body's broken down, and still there's family responsibilities, and your wife is saying, come on, do something. I did all my life. No, now we still need you. No appreciation. Right? Or vice versa. You know, the husband is saying, come on, where's my dinner? I did that for 45 years. I still want it. Go to Pizza Hut or something. The point is that material service is never really appreciated. You can serve your country, your family, your friends, And really, people don't really appreciate it. They just expect more. They just expect more. And if you don't come up with it, they say, what happened? Why aren't you serving more? Right? Even if you can. It's like that. This is the material world. Because in the material world, people are generally self-interested or selfish, you might say. But Krishna, whatever little service we do for Krishna, it's appreciated. It's reciprocated, and it gives us, it brings us closer to Krishna in our devotional life. So chant the holy names, and Krishna opens up the door to service. I quoted the verse, the Shikshastika prayers, and I mentioned that there are different benedictions. I'm going to speak a little bit about those benedictions so you know why you should take shelter of the holy name. We can speak generally, which I have been, and that's important. But specifically, what are the benedictions of taking shelter of the holy name? Why should we take shelter? For protection, for maintenance, for happiness, yes. But what are the deeper meanings? What happens when you take shelter of the holy name? Lord Chaitanya speaks that verse, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. The first verse of the Shikshastakam prayers. He speaks it in his ecstasy of love. He's in the mood of a devotee of the Lord who's a pure devotee who's loving Krishna in that mood. But because he's the Lord, his prayers are perfect. These are the most perfect prayers ever composed in existence. The Shikshastakam prayers. Please learn those prayers. Those prayers are non-different than Krishna's name. There's no difference. Each of the prayers corresponds to a couple of the holy name. The first prayer is Hare Krishna. The second prayer is Hare Krishna. The third prayer is Krishna Krishna. The fourth prayer is Hare Hare. And all the way through the mantra. This is explained by the greatest acharyas and by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Shiva Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now this first verse, Lord Chaitanya lists the seven benedictions. He says, Chaito, Dharpanam, Marjanam. Chaito means mind. Dharpanam means mirror. And Marjanam means to clean. By chanting the holy names, we remove the dust from the mirror of the mind. The mind is like a pure element, but when it comes in contact with the material energy, it takes on all the misconceptions and all the attachments and all the anarthas that come in contact with it, through the material energy. So when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we're actually cleaning our minds. We're cleaning our hearts, both. In order to clear the heart, you have to clear the mind. The heart will not remain clean unless the mind becomes clean. Therefore, we have to chant, and that way, it removes the dirt. The mind is like a pure stream with translucent water. If you've ever been to Hardwar up in Lakshman Jula, you can look down into the water. It's 4 or 5 feet deep, and you can see the bottom. So crystal clear. That is the quality of the pure mind. When the pure mind comes in contact with the material energy, it's like shaking up the dirt on the bottom, and all the dirt rises to the surface. And then one cannot see clearly anymore. So our attachments in this world are like the dust and the dirt and the mud. And therefore, when we chant the holy names, we're again resettling all that. And it's coming to the surface, and then it gets removed by the mercy of Krishna's holy name. So chant the holy names of the Lord. The mind becomes pure. The mind becomes clean. The mind can reflect its own nature and actually, what we say, see what is existence. When we look around the world, we look around anywhere, we see reality according to our consciousness. Reality is somewhat is subjective. No two people, even if they're identical twins and have similar educations and similar upbringings, see the world the same way. Everyone sees the world differently. Everybody, you know, somebody can say, "Wow, isn't that beautiful?" You might say, I don't see the beauty you see. You know, it's just like that. Or just like two people fall in love, and someone else will say, "What does he see in her? What is she? What is she?" I can't figure it out. It's like that. You know, it's just the way it is, you know. The way our consciousness is molded by our attachments and by our previous existence in the material world. And so consciousness is all relative. But there is an absolute pure reality. And Krishna explains that. When you reach pure consciousness, you can see me in everything and everything in me. You don't see anything but Krishna in everything. Krishna's here. You can see Krishna face to face, just like Prabhupada said, "I can see you face to face, you can see Krishna face to face." Imagine that. That's possible. Because Krishna is everywhere. He's here. He's here in all his forms. As soon as you purify your heart completely, Krishna reveals himself. But that's a process. But the holy name is the means to do it. It's the means to do it. It's the powerful form to do it. We can perform pujas, we can do vratas and homas and different types of, you know, ceremonies and rituals and observe, you know, holy days and so many things. And these are all important. They are important and should be done. But none of them can compare to the power and effectiveness of spiritual benefit that comes with chanting the holy names. Because the holy name is the source of all these others. Therefore, chanting the holy name is the perfect and more complete way to worship the Lord in this age. There's no more perfect and complete way. Purify the mind, purify the heart. Second is Baba Mahadevagnir's Bhagavad. This material world is like a raging, blazing fire. Prabhupada said, he was walking, doing a morning walk in Denver, Colorado. He was walking through a beautiful park. And Prabhupada said, "You see this park, beautiful park? Any moment there can be fire and the whole thing is changed." He said, "This is the material world. At any moment, anything can change. And everyone is in a different position." So this material world, you can never trust what we say, the way things are going. Because things can change at any second. It's a dangerous place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, this material world is no place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. In other words, respectable people don't want to stay there. It's a nasty place. Prabhupada compared it to a bathroom. He says, we come to the material world to pass stool and urine, that's all. There we go. Somewhere else to do the same thing. That's a whole other subject, anyway. Because, you know, we see, you know, we're looking for happiness, but we're finding something else. That's the nature of the material world. We always get something different. So this material world, miseries of the body and mind, miseries by other people, other living entities, and miseries by higher powers. And Kali Yuga, they're increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing so much. But chant the holy names, and by the power of the holy name, that pushes back the, what we say, the miseries, and destroys them. Brings them all into one little ball, takes that ball and throws that ball in the ocean, finished. All the material miseries are gone. Simply by chanting, that's how powerful Krishna's name is. And that's a byproduct. That's not even the benefit. That's not the real benefit of chanting. That's a byproduct. What's the next one? Baba Mahadevadeva Shreya Kaivara Chandrika Vitala. For those of you who are poets, you'll like this. Shreya means auspicious. Kairava is a lotus flower. But it's a special kind of lotus. It's a lotus that blooms under the rays of the moon. Most lotus flowers bloom under the rays of the sun, except the Kairava. It gets its nourishment from the moon. Now Kairava, Shreya Kairava, Chandrika. Chandrika means moon. That the holy name is like a moon, and it gives its soothing rays onto the what we say, our good fortune. So the lotus is compared to our good fortune. And the lotus is closed. It's closed. But when the Chandrika, the moon's rays hits the lotus of our good fortune, it awakens within us the Krishna in the form of the holy name. In other words, your good fortune is awakened when you come in contact with Krishna in the form of the holy name. And Prabhupada said, this is the beginning of spiritual life, your good fortune. You come in contact with Krishna in the form of his name. The next one. What is it? Shreya Kaya Vichandika Vita. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Vidya means knowledge. And this knowledge is in the feminine. It's the goddess of knowledge. Vadu means bride. And Jivanam means life. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. The bride becomes enlivened by the presence of the bridegroom. So in the same way, transcendental knowledge becomes enlivened by the presence of Krishna's holy name. We can read these books. We can read the scriptures. But to understand the scriptures, it's very difficult. Very difficult. By the mercy of the acharyas. But through the purification of the heart, when we purify our heart through chanting of the holy names, this transcendental knowledge becomes awakened within our minds and hearts. We can actually understand it deeper and deeper through the chanting of the just like, sometimes you go, maybe you're familiar with, in India, they have these big pandal programs. And some yogi will speak or do some kind of magic, and people will sit there, and then it's all over, right? And they have some speech, and usually somebody just speaks for about 2 hours, and nobody's listening anyway. Because nobody knows what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's talking about either, usually. Anyway, it goes on like that. So Prabhupada used to be invited to these big pandal programs with all these yogis. And he would just sit there and listen to the yogis, and then he would turn to the devotees, have kirtan. And then the devotees would have kirtan. And then the audience would get up and dance, and then there would be a nice festival, and everyone would love the devotees. Because we have something. So even dry philosophy, I mean, if we just sit here and have philosophize all day, we think, wow. That was nice, but I'm glad it's over. But the holy name, when you have kirtan, it just awakens. It just gives you light. It gives you happiness. It charges you up with the way you want to be charged up. So, therefore, in our programs, we always have pravachan and kirtan. Not just pravachan. We always do kirtan. Because kirtan gives life to Brahmacharya. It gives life. Vidya Vahu Jiva. The next benediction, Anandam Rudi Varnana. Ananda. Ananda means bliss. Bhuti means like an ocean. It's deep. And Varnana, unlimited. There's unlimited happiness in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So many times we say that, yes, be chant and be happy. And there's unlimited happiness. But how do we understand that? It's described that the jiva, us, we're tiny, we're small. We're a little fraction of Krishna's energy. We have a tendency to be overcome by his other energy, known as the material energy. But our smallness becomes, what we say, unlimitedly expanded to a limit of greatness when we come in contact with Krishna through the holy name. The happiness you can get from chanting the holy name is not limited. There's no limit. It's unlimited. Just like, can you find the limits of an ocean? Can you measure how many gallons of water there are in the ocean? You can take 1 billion gallons out of the ocean. The ocean still looks like the same thing. You can add 1 billion gallons to it. It still looks the same. That's how the ocean is so vast and unlimited. That's a material thing. What to speak of Krishna is form of his name. So the holy name, when you chant the holy name, the happiness that you're perceiving, you're getting, you should know, that is a tiny fraction of a 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 fraction. That's how small it is, maybe even smaller than that. That alone, that fraction, can take us into a world of transcendental pleasure and happiness. And that's a tiny fraction. We see Lord Chaitanya, when he used to dance and chant, they would have kirtan for Lord Nityananda. He chanted for 3 months. They had kirtan for 3 months. Can you imagine? He had all his devotees, they went to the house of Raghava Pandit. He had began kirtan, and for 3 solid months, nobody ate, nobody drank anything, nobody did anything but chant and dance. They forgot about their bodies. It was wild. And people from the villages started to see, and they came and they joined the kirtan. The devotees were so empowered. They were picking up trees and dancing with the trees. They were climbing the trees and going out to the ends of the branches and dancing on the twigs. The twigs were not even breaking. They were diving off the trees. It was amazing. You read that. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavan. Lord Nityananda just opened up the storehouse of love of God. He just performed this kirtan, and everybody just went wild for 3 months. Can you imagine? We do 3 hours, we think, wow, that's a lot. 3 months. Wow, that's like, you know, go to India and back and just, you know. 3 months. This is factual. You can read it. Chaitanya Bhagavan. Vrindavan Das Thakur is not a fiction writer. And it was an amazing kirtan. The demigods even came and joined the kirtan in the celebration. So this is the power of Krishna's name. Of course, we may not be able to chant like Lord Nityananda. But Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are there. They're on the altar. And when we're chanting, they're giving their mercy. They're giving their mercy when they see we're enthusiastically chanting. So when we receive their mercy through our enthusiasm, then our enthusiasm increases. And the quality of Krishna's mercy increases more and more. So it's an unlimited, blissful experience. But I should tell you something that you may be disappointed in. Would you like to get disappointed? No, nobody wants to get disappointed. Anyway, I'll make a disappointment anyway. It's not a disappointment. It's not like that. But it's kind of like something you didn't really want to hear. But I'll tell it to you anyway. We say, chant and be happy. Right? Simple. Prabhupada used to say it. Chant and be happy. But then again, there's a purport. You know what the purport is? The purport is, if you're looking for happiness somewhere else, it's hard to find the happiness in the holy name. In other words, make the holy name your exclusive form of happiness, and then you'll find, and you'll understand what it means to be chatted and be happy. So if you're looking for happiness in so many other things, and the holy name will evade you. You may do so many other things, and that's important. We have a lot of responsibilities, we have a lot of activities, we have a lot of things going on in our life. That's okay. But look for happiness in Krishna's name. Then you'll find happiness in these other things too, because they're an extension of Krishna's holy name. So we're just looking, we're looking for happiness there in the holy name. And Krishna's name can do it. The sixth benediction. Pratipadam Purnam Rita Swadana. At every step of the chanting, there's newer and newer realizations of our relationship with Krishna. It's never like you reach an end of knowledge, you reach an end of experience. As you chant and develop your chanting, there's more and more realizations, more and more understandings of who I am in the spiritual world. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. We have an eternal transcendental spiritual body. We have a service that we do in the spiritual world for Krishna. Each and every one of us has an eternal fixed relationship with Krishna in the different rasas. As a gopi, as a cowherd boy, or as a parent, as a friend, so many different relationships with Krishna. That's there. It's hidden. It's Gupta. Can't experience it in the material consciousness. But as we chant the holy name, Krishna reveals through your heart what is your relationship with Him. These are higher stages of spiritual practice, but they're available through Krishna's name. Imagine knowing who you are. You think, well, I'm this person doing this and that and that. But all our material identities are just simply identities that we have adopted because we have a material body, that's all. These identities are temporary and really not our real identity. Our real identity is eternal servant of Krishna. But our identity is fixed in a particular way in the spiritual world. So as we chant the holy names of the Lord, it's explained, Krishna reveals to you through the spiritual master who you are. It's a step-by-step process. It doesn't happen all at once. And the last benediction, Sarvatma Snapanam. This is very good for those of you who live in the world. Sarvatma Snapanam means complete bath. Means that there's nothing else to be considered. The holy name will purify your family, will purify your house, will purify your job, will purify your computer. Purify your dog and cat. Purify everything in relationship to your life. The holy name extends itself outward to everything in our life and makes that also purified. So, and Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's like a symphony of Tchaikovsky. You can never be so good. It's a symphony. It's a glorification. The holy name is like a grand celebration. Grand celebration. So take the holy name into your heart, take it into your mind, take it into your life, make it a part of everything you do, and surely you'll be fully satisfied in benediction. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that big. If you can remember that, then you understand there's nothing else but the holy name, because there's nothing else but Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Questions? We have time for questions? I see one hand up there. Lady? Yeah? Question? Faith, yes. What is faith and what should be to develop the mood? We have to have faith in the spiritual master. His instructions are the absolute principle to develop that faith in the process of devotional service. Whatever the spiritual master says is perfect. faith in the scriptures. We should doubt the scriptures. We should realize that the scriptures are coming from the Lord through the pure devotees. And these words are perfect. We may not understand them, but we should have faith in them. Just like a child may not understand anything about, you know, the sun. But if the father tells the sun is the child, but the sun is 93 million miles away, he may not be able to understand that or even measure it. Nobody can. But if he repeats it, it's perfect. Therefore, simply by accepting and repeating, that is faith and practicing. So how does faith develop? What is the root of faith? Faith comes by association with people of faith. The more you associate with people who have faith, because of that association, you develop faith also. And how you associate is the basis of how that faith develops. And the mood of association is in the mood of service. In the mood of hearing, the mood of serving. When we associate with devotees, we should be willing to serve them and hear from them. When we're associating with our friends and family members, we should be able to serve them and to offer them something in the form of Krishna consciousness. And we're associating with people in general, we should be serving them by trying to help them maybe move forward in their life by giving them something spiritual. So the mood is always service. That's the mood. And how we relate to various types of people, that can be explained accordingly. But generally, it is always the mood of service. And when we're associating with devotees, we should always be in that mood. How to serve. Or how, and in this case, if you're hearing attentively, then that's serving. Because that's the best thing you can do. Is to hear attentively, assimilate, and try to, you know, understand and practice that. So our mood is always service. But Prabhupada said faith develops by purity. Faith develops by purity. The more pure you are, the more faith you have. So as we practice Krishna consciousness, we start with preliminary faith. And then as we develop the practice, our faith increases. And as our faith increases, it leads us to practicing more and more with faith. Then even the most difficult thing to understand becomes easy by the power of one's faith. Faith is powerful. Very powerful. And faith, even if it's blind faith in the right thing, it's just as good as what we say, faith in general, because it's in the right thing. Thank you. Question, yes? While chanting, thinking of the instructions of the spiritual master, from time to time, to help us remember what is his instructions for chanting. If we're chanting, we want to be hearing. So sometimes when we're not hearing, our mind's wandering, if we remember the instructions, then we can bring ourselves back to the process of hearing nicely. But in general, we should always be aware of the instructions of the spiritual master and applying those instructions in all aspects of our life. And the application is non-different than the instructions. Just like if the spiritual master says, chant and hear nicely, if you're chanting and hearing nicely, you're connected with the instruction. It's not different than following. The following and the remembering is the same. Okay? Is that okay? Thank you. Say it again. Does it deteriorate the quality of food? Well, you don't want to overdo it. As I explained, if you're following the instruction, then you're remembering the instruction. It's not like you walk around saying, my spiritual master said I should hear, my spiritual master said I should hear, my spiritual master said I should hear. But you're not hearing, you're just remembering him saying that. If you're hearing, then you're connected to the instruction. So you might have to remember it once or twice in order to perform it. And then when you somehow slip away from it, remember it again. But this is, it's very essential to know the instructions. Because without that knowledge, you can get into another mindset which may be different. And we think we're following the instructions, but we're not. Therefore, we should be clear. That's why spiritual master speaks, and we should hear. And if there's anything that needs to be clarified, there's questions for clarification. Yeah, anyone else? Okay. We can begin our non-yoga now. All right. Doesn't seem to be any more questions.
Shiva Bhagavad Ki.